Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Hey, Master, what's the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? You guys really aren't going to need to worry about that. You'll be dead. Whoa! That is what he is really saying here.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Well, greetings, people loved by God. You remember last time we took the plunge into the little apocalypse of St. Matthew, in which Jesus begins to answer the questions put to him by his disciples after his words about the temple's destruction and not one stone left on another. They ask him privately to give them the scoop on when that destruction will happen and what sign will signal his coming and the end of the age. Jesus circles round rather than directly answering, but telling them to watch out for fake Christs who will show up and deceive many, and then he tells them what are not signs of his coming: wars, rumors of wars, kingdoms and nations, rising and falling, and famines and earthquakes. He says, in effect, that's business as usual in a fallen world. But he adds the hopeful interpretation that all these massive upsets and causes of suffering, they're actually to be understood by us as birth pangs, as the creation itself getting ready to birth the recreation, the kingdom. The continuation, then, of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. St. Matthew 24, verses 9 to 12. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word, as befits it, may not be bound, but a free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and the edifying of Christ's holy people, so that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So you're ready to dig into these verses? They're very rich. Let's do it. Verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then when? Well, then when all that distress is shaking up the earth and business as usual, then they who? Well, he'd already foretold that the Jewish leaders would have a hand in this delivering over to death and persecution of his messengers, but the they here clearly includes the Gentiles too. It's all who are part of this generation, the generation from Adam that rejects the gifts that the Son of God came to win and to bestow. And so their fate is tribulation, that is, all kinds of sufferings. Remember how John identifies himself in Revelation 1 as, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. Tribulation, but also death. Do not miss that. Hey, Master, what's the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? You guys really aren't going to need to worry about that. You'll be dead. Whoa! That is what he is really saying here. And not only will you be put to death, but you'll be hated. And by all nations, for the sake of the name of Jesus, the name they go out proclaiming is the only name given upon earth by which men must be saved. It's a gift for all, but it's the exclusivity of the gift that rankles. A Jesus whom you can put next to another God, well, that's okay. But a Jesus who knocks them all over and says, nope, it's me or me alone, I'm your hope and only Savior, that's what makes folks see red. Verse 10. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. This falling away is the sin of apostasy. It's letting go the truth of Jesus for the sake of getting a better deal here in this age. And certainly this sadness has happened across the centuries of the church's life, where even family members will betray and hate someone who remains faithful to Christ, who continues to confess him and hold to him. The catechist Origen, writing in 3rd century Alexandria in Egypt, he said, the manifestation of the qualities of Christ implanted in him, on account of which he's called a Christian, makes him an object of hatred to everyone who has the spirit of the world. This is what St. Peter warned about in 1 Peter 4:3. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they're surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So, the very life of Christians, which has lived in communion with Christ, is the cause for them being betrayed, being hated, and no one hates them so much as those who once confessed Christ, but then turned their backs on him. Verse 11, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. The names are legion. Let's just stick with America. In the last several centuries, think of Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormons, of Charles Taze Russell, the founder of the Jehovah Witness, of Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, of L. Ron Hubbard and the Church of Scientology. Oh, yeah. There's a reason America was called the land of the sects. The list just goes on, and that's not even considering the leading astray that happens when churches begin tossing the truth of God's word, conforming themselves to the expectation of the current generation, as though all Christians before were just unenlightened, and if they were only shown what we now know from so-called science, they'd realize that what they used to call sin is really just an alternative way of loving. False prophets really abound, and they really lead many astray. That is, they lead them away from Christ and his word, which is the only thing that can save their souls. And instead, they're led into a tissue of lies, which they end up trusting and building on. St. Paul also warned that it would happen. Remember how he gathered the Ephesian elders in Acts 20? He told them, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. And now, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Verse 12, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. This is the same word we met back in the woes against the Pharisees and scribes. Jesus accused them of having hearts that were filled with anomia, lawlessness. That is, hearts that excused themselves from obedience to God's commands. And here Jesus tells you where that road ends. Love and the law are absolutely in tandem. How could it be otherwise when love is the fulfilling of the law, as Paul taught in Romans 13? And so when lawlessness, anomia, grows, increases, spreads, love itself hardens and dies. Jesus' term for this is it grows cold. Like a heart inside of a person who has died. It gets colder with the body. And so Jesus foretells a time coming when people will toss the commandments of God behind their back with abandon. And as a result, they will suffer a loss of love. St. Paul describes the exact phenomenon in 2 Timothy 3. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. That is, above all, the Spirit's power to free us from the bondage to sin. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Notice that he puts the salvation out in the future. The New Testament actually uses all three aspects of tense for salvation. Well, just think about the promises about baptism. He saved us by the washing of regeneration, Titus 3. 1 Peter 3, baptism now saves you. Or the promise in Mark 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Each of these enfolds the other. Jesus in this passage is telling his disciples, most of whom will be killed for his name, all of whom will be hated for his name, to hang tight for this wild ride, because it all ends in joy. And so don't let go of him and so miss the prize. Judas, unfortunately, was getting ready to do just that in just a matter of hours at this point. It will be hard for the disciples when family or friends or acquaintances turn on them for Jesus' sake. But Jesus is reminding them that the kingdom he will deliver to them in the end makes it all absolutely worth it. He's teaching them in this way to live toward what they cannot see, but what they hope for. Not to trust the feelings that they're having at the moment, but to trust his promises as what really holds, what finally and fully holds. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This gospel of the kingdom that he has been preaching and sharing with them from the get-go, but that will culminate in his own crucifixion and resurrection. This good news of how God provided the sacrifice of atonement for all people. This must go out as a testimony to every nation. And notice that they're going to be killed before it's done. So that implies right from the start of the church's life that somehow the preaching has to be provided for in the days to come, because that end doesn't arrive before this gospel gets spread everywhere. And of course, the all nations here rings in with the commission to the 11 in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them, I am with you always. And part of their baptizing and teaching came to be ordaining their successors, men who would go on preaching from one generation to the next, from one place to the next, until the end of the age arrives and Christ appears in glory. My home congregation, the Lutheran Church of St. Andrew in Silver Spring, Maryland, they used to actually depict this in their building. You see, the steeple wasn't ever finished. The bricks stopped partway up and steel girder showed. It looked really weird. And people asked, why is that like that? The pastor at the time it was built said, that's how we show them. The church's work is never done. Not till the last day. Till then, that preaching of the good news of the divine amnesty in Christ, of the power of his blood to take away sin and to raise the dead, this must be carried forth generation by generation by those in the holy ministry and by the whole people of God, holding forth to the world our joyous hope. True, it may not win many friends, but it will always win some, and they too will come to know and love the Lord Jesus. And the little apocalypse gets much more intriguing next time, people loved by God. But till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.